Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you. So today we're taking your questions and your comments. If you're watching, it's Monday. We are here. It's a live broadcast. Please give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. If you are calling and you are outside North America, you can always reach us at 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. So the question for the Monday show was this: what are some key virtuous ingredients that make for a healthy and a happy marriage and family? And we got beautiful responses from many of you, which we will be sharing on our show. But first, we want to pray and put out a great plea of prayer for all the people who have been so affected by this Hurricane Helene.
Yeah.
And it's been catastrophic for many people. Close to 100 lives have been lost. Many people are missing. And it's all the way from Florida to North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Virginia.
Yeah.
So many people are without power and they can't get in touch with people. Homes and their lives and businesses have been destroyed. I listened to many of the reports this morning by the great governors of those states doing outstanding jobs. And so we just pray, and we're so sorry for all of your suffering. And we just know that there are so many people that are coming to your aid from other states, doing great work, hoping to get your power restored and your lives somewhat back to normal in the near future. But it's been devastating.
So we are united in prayer. Hopefully we're united in giving through charities that you trust to these various states and people. Maybe you'll hear that in your diocese, ways that you can possibly give. And there are no words to express, especially those who perish. Lord, have mercy upon their souls. Receive them into your arms of love and mercy. All the families who've lost loved ones, those who can't find one another. Mm-hmm. Highways that have been shut down, roads that are closed. I can't imagine the panic and the loss, and that you will not have your loved ones again to hold, and all the people that get affected by one person passing away in such a tragic way. EWTN, the priests here, the sisters up in Coleman, everybody is praying. You said today that Father remembered in prayer all
Patrick.
Of those who perished, the victims. And but it's a great time for the church, because the church is responding. People of goodwill are responding. And at a time like this, you see who the good people are and what they do, and you're experiencing them now. And I know that it was a police officer, somebody else responding, he lost his life.
Right, first responders.
So there's great sacrifice that's taking place right now. Pray God would bless every effort, and that God somehow, some way, will grant you peace and supply for your every need according to his riches in glory. So we love you, and we're praying for you here at EWTN. What are some key virtuous ingredients that make for a healthy, happy marriage and family? I want you to call us, 1-800-221-9460, 205-271-2980. What are the key ingredients? Could be very serious. God, the power of the Holy Spirit, could be something else. Dancing, having a meal together, date times. And how does that spread not only to your marriage and family, but to your grandchildren? What are the ingredients that you have in your life that make for this blessed taste of marriage and family? We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, remember that we're taking your questions on our show today. So if you're watching the live broadcast, you know it's Monday. Please give us a jingle at 1-800-221-9460. Outside North America, you can reach us, 205-271-2980. And you can always send us an email with your question or your comment to Jim and Joy at EWTN.com and check us out on Facebook. So here's the grand question. What are some key virtuous ingredients that make for a healthy, happy marriage and family? Now, if you look at the world is going to tell you, it won't even include the word virtuous, because being married, a lot of people get married because he makes me feel good. Well, that's not a good foundation to lay down for a marriage, because marriage, we're married 47 years.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with your feelings. That's why you need virtues. Mm. So you've heard me say this so many times before, but it's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Well, this question came out of somebody coming up to you and asking you a question. Say what that was.
Well, I had the dilemma this past week of I had a cracked screen on my phone. So I had to take my phone and to have get it repaired. Well, it turned out into a whole other monstrosity.
Put the wrong screen on, like kind of ruined the phone.
But I'm practicing my virtues in the midst of it all. But anyway.
How does it relate to this question?
The guy who was going to repair my phone, who I've not seen since, had asked me this question. He said, well, I said, well, my husband's, I mentioned something about my husband as I was making this transaction with
this
guy.
What did you mention?
I don't know, but it was nice. It was very nice.
Okay.
So he said, and I said, well, we're married 47 years. So then he said, well, I always ask people when they're married a long time, what's the success to your marriage? Well, he regretted that he asked me that, because I was able to say, in a bold witness, I said, well, I'm going to tell you what destroys a marriage. Prayerlessness and selfishness. If you're going to be prayerless and you're going to be selfish, your marriage won't last. You have to be prayerful and selfless. That's what marriage has taught me.
Amen.
Now, Jim is making me holy, because marriage makes us holy, because you get to practice virtues in marriage. You have to have all the beautiful virtues to be married, to go the distance. You have to be patient and kind and loving. You need the works of the Holy Spirit in your marriage, and you need the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your marriage. And hey, guess what? And that's just to wake up and be a nice person. So that's why when people get married and they say, oh, it wasn't working for me, he didn't make me happy anymore. Well, it wasn't about you being happy. It was about you loving one person all the way until your dying breath. That's the goal.
Yeah.
We got married. This is the beautiful thing about being in the Catholic Church. When you get married in front of an altar. Well, what happens? There's a great sacrifice on the altar. There's a crucifix. And then that day is when you take up your cross, so that you can have a marriage that is set on fire by God Almighty, so that it could be a beautiful witness.
Amen.
Right?
Let's take this. I think it's a call. Sandy from Massachusetts just called in.
Okay.
And so she says that we need trust, communication, love, and support.
Yeah, that's great. And this is Sandy's first time seeing EWTN.
So she's not on the phone. This is what she said.
Yeah, well, we want to welcome you to the EWTN family, Sandy. And yes, all those things are important. You have to be able to trust your spouse. You have to have good communication. And that's just not you talking. Yeah. That's you
and
listening.
You know, what's coming up for me is we're saying things that are almost impossible to do. Okay, the virtues. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the gifts of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and all this stuff. But the key ingredient is a sacramental marriage.
Right.
Right? Because it's a sacrament to make this relationship sacred, holy, power, grace. Grace is what you don't got. Grace is what God's got. And you get that through the sacrament. So he does ask us to do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
But he gives us the power to do those things. They're not just flesh things. We have to cooperate with that, to choose that way. But the good news, and I asked my family one day, you know, my my sister's boys. She has four beautiful boys. And I said to them, you know, what do you think about marriage? And what's the most important thing about marriage? And one of them said right away, he said, that it's a sacrament. So we believe as Catholics that God pays for what he orders. Mm-hmm. This is how this means. God pays for what he orders. What are you talking about paying for what he orders? He gives you the grace to do these things. All things are possible with God. And you'll find out if you're married long enough, you don't got it except in God, right?
Right. Well, and you know, it's hard to be married. It's hard to be divorced. It's hard to be in relationships. You got to choose your heart because it's hard. And then the deal is that what Jesus is going to equip you and anoint you. And I say this and I'll say this to my dying breath. We're married. We have a beautiful marriage. Jesus is in this marriage.
That's the ingredient.
Jesus is in this marriage. No Jesus, no Jim and Joy.
Right.
I mean, I get that. I love Jim. I am madly in love with Jim. But sometimes Jim is hard to love. And I am sure that I am hard to love. And that's where Jesus comes in. Because then he gives us love. And you say, Lord, I can't believe you just said that to me. Or how, blah, 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 whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
and then you have to reset yourself and choose to love again and be nice again.
We agree on so much.
Yes.
And some of the arguments are because
we fight over love.
We fight over service.
Right.
Like, why didn't you let me do that? And we get like mad about serving or something. And then sometimes we really don't see something the same. And that's really painful because we're on the page. And that goes throughout the day. And then you go to bed. And then it's just like, you know, I've said to you at times, I said, you know, honey, we're not going to solve this. You're seeing this way. I'm seeing this way. But I just want you to know, bigger than that is our love for each other, even though we're not seeing it the same and it hurts. Can we go to sleep now?
Right.
Because I want you to, more important is that we love one another. And I don't get why you believe what you believe about this. And you can do that. That's an ingredient.
Right. And to respect the fact that it's okay to disagree. You're not going to see it right. And then usually when we have a disagreement on something, we don't act on it. When we don't know what to do, we do nothing. Because we're not going to get out in front of the other one and say, I told you needed to do this. This is what we're going to be respectful for the other spouse to come along.
Yeah.
I think of one major big thing.
What?
When you reverted to the Catholic Church, you were in a whole nother place. I wasn't where you were. I was not where you were.
Was that right?
You were right. You were way right. And every Saturday night when we come home from Mass and we pull our car in, I kiss you and I thank you that we are Catholic because we just consumed the bread of heaven. And now Jesus is inside of us and he's going to make us the people that he designed us to be. But that was a really difficult time. But you said to me, honey, I'm going to wait for you however long this takes. And then I knew as a spouse that you wanted to come in under Pope John Paul.
Yeah.
Well, he was going to die soon. And I knew the clock of it all.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to surrender. Because I trusted Jesus. I trusted Jim. I didn't feel like becoming Catholic. I didn't understand or comprehend everything there was to understand about the Catholic Church. But Jesus was calling me, and I wanted to obey Jesus. I wanted to bless your heart. I wanted to be equally yoked with you, and I trusted the process. And we talked about it a lot, and we cried about it a lot.
And you are a tremendous Catholic. You, like, surpassed me in so many ways. But let's take this quote on marriage. If, then, each one contributes his own part, all stands firm. From being loved, the wife, too, becomes loving. And from her being submissive, the husband becomes yielding. St. John Chrysostom or Chrysostom, Colossians 3:19. This is exactly, I think, what we're saying.
Right.
So it comes out of the scripture that says, be mutually submitted to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Right.
Mutual submission through Jesus submitting his life, giving his life for us. And so it's always submission. And so it's not like, well, I'm just leading on, I'm charging on. It's like, what do you think? How do you see this? And then the husband does have a special role of leadership. He's the head as Christ is the head. And yet the woman is that bride of Christ, modeling even for a man what it means to submit and surrender. And Christ has submitted and surrendered. He's laying down his life. It's a servant headship that's saying, I'm going to die for you. I'm going to die for my family. How can we move in the right direction? And when we do that, it usually happens.
Right.
We get the sense.
Well, we had a quote from this beautiful friend, Nellie, and she said, we pray together on top of worshiping the Lord in Holy Mass and in adoration 5 days a week. Now, that'll help your marriage. Also, we love to dance spontaneously in the kitchen or almost anywhere. We kiss and hug each other whenever we are near enough and generally find the humor wherever possible. We love to laugh, but of course, we often engage in meaningful conversation too.
That's fantastic.
Ingredients. Right.
And it's so deeply spiritual. And then it's like when we're near each other, we kiss and hug.
Right.
You know, we dance in the kitchen, which we do.
We do.
And ever we're near enough, we you know, hug one another. We love to laugh, but of course, we're always. That's great. So what are the ingredients in your life, in your marriage? We can go through ingredients as grandparents with our 17 grandchildren and what we seek to do there. But that is so holistic, so beautiful. And so we dance with joy in our kitchen. But I remember dancing with you when you had very serious cancer.
Yes, that was a fun dance.
And I danced with you. And either I sang or I put on a song.
You put on a song.
Tonight, you're mine completely.
Mm-hmm. You used to love me tomorrow.
You give your love so sweetly. Mm-hmm. So tell me now, and I won't ask you again.
Mm-hmm.
Will you still love me tomorrow?
Right.
Because you.
And that was the night before I was getting a scan, before we were going to find out if the cancer
was terminal.
Right. And it was a fun.
So I was trying to say to you, I will love you tomorrow.
Right.
Whatever the outcome of this is, I just want you to know that. That was, so it wasn't a fun dancing. There was a time like we could be separated here.
Right. But to make it fun, what we did do, which is our new normal now, as you get older, how fun. And also surviving colon cancer. Now we had wine glasses, and instead of having a glass of wine that night, we filled it up with Metamucil. Mm-hmm. It was so much fun. And so we had
it. Very romantic.
Here we had our Metamucil and we had our dance. But that's the journey of love and marriage and sickness and in health and good times and in bad times. And we were trying to find the humor in it all. In the midst of the storm.
Yeah.
And to God be the glory, I am cancer free.
Amen.
And and I thank all of you for your prayers and your love. And God gets all the glory for anything good in our marriage. Yeah. Anything good you see in our marriage, we give Jesus all the glory.
God bless all the ingredients in your marriage and in your family. May He ever increase those to you. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, before we wrap up today's show, we're going to hear from our friends, Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck, about a virtue-based approach to parenting.
Parenting is tough work. And some days it feels like a victory if you can just keep the kids from setting themselves on fire.
But if you'd like to stop managing crises and start building a more grace-filled family life, here's a tip. Try a more virtue-minded approach to parenting.
For instance, if the kids have been disrespectful lately, besides correcting them in the moment, take some time over dinner to discuss specific ways your whole family could do a better job at practicing respect this week.
Modeling is the best teacher, so make it a family project. Let Dad start by giving some examples of ways he could be more respectful when he's tempted to lose his cool. Then Mom, then go down the line with each of the kids.
Then spend at least 5 minutes of each family dinner talking about that day's attempts to be a little more respectful to each other. How'd it go? Is there something you'd do differently if you had to do it over again? What support might you need from the other people around the table to do better tomorrow?
This simple two-step virtue-building exercise allows your family to spend some time every day reflecting on how you can do a better job helping each other grow in grace. It's a practical way to take up the church's call for families to be schools of love and virtue.
In our family, we try to pick a different virtue every couple of months. Respect, generosity, patience, love, joy, kindness, and so on. We all spend a little time talking about what would help our family get along better, and we make that virtue our focus. Once we feel like we're doing a good job in that virtue, we pick a different one to work on.
Besides helping your family create a more grace-filled home life, this practice helps set the stage for some great conversations with your kids about character, values, purity, and living out the faith. Conversations that might otherwise be hard to get started if you weren't regularly talking about how your family could grow in grace.
Want more ideas for raising virtuous kids? Check out our book, Parenting with Grace, The Catholic Parent's Guide to Raising Almost Perfect Kids.
Always incredible teaching by the Popchaks. We've been sharing today about ingredients in our marriages and family. And I think, for me, one of the key ingredients is honoring the mediation of Jesus Christ in every relationship. That we have no right to relate directly to our spouse, to our children, our grandchildren. Jesus is the mediator. And so we always seek his face, seek what he desires. A prayer that I've penned that's very important that we pray every day. Heavenly Father, I embrace your grace today so that I might not think of another, speak to another, touch another without first looking for your face in the other, his mediation. We ask all this through Jesus Christ, God incarnate, God with skin, God made poor, God with a face. If I would do that prayer, it's a lifestyle, and never think, speak, or touch myself, my wife, children, anybody else, except through Christ's desire, his will, his sacrificial love. What an ingredient. What a difference it makes. I can tell the difference. Joy can tell the difference when we're not just relating one to one, but through the face of Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless all of your loved ones. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.